morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we're excited to have another day of grace. It's a beautiful morning out. About 28 degrees, I think, this morning.
But warming anyway,
it's warming up. But anyway, if you have we thank you for tuning in. If you're tuning in through our YouTube channel or Boxcast app or our Facebook page, and we thank you for tuning in, and thank the ones that are here today live and in person and smiling on their face, and another day of grace. We're going to sing number 44, "And Can It Be?" I'm not sure if we're singing one verse, two verses, all three. So the choir did meet today, so we just have to go on their lead, okay? "And Can It Be?" Number 44 in your red book. Love, doesn't it? That he sent his son to die for our sins. He didn't have to.
No.
But he did. And just because Adam fell, and we in a fallen race today, guys, and we in a sin-cursed world, and it ain't going to change till he comes back. It's not going to change till he takes the heaven and earth and puts it back under his authority and all. Got a few prayer requests and praise items this morning. One praise item, we could say that getting a few calls and letters and emails and stuff with people that are watching our broadcast. Praise God, hallelujah. We're touching people from all over the globe, but most of all, we're the pillar and the grounds of the truth in this area, and we fly one flag, and that's what we should be doing. And I do appreciate each and every one of you. Keep Bob Wagner in thought and prayer. She had some news this week that it's kind of upsetting for her, and if you want to call her, please do. Keep her husband Walt in thought and prayer. He's still in the nursing home. Sherry's sister Tammy had gotten some thyroid issues, and it's cancerous, so they don't know how if it's spreading or stuff like that. I had a couple more on my mind. You ever? That's why you should write stuff down, mm-hmm. and keep our sister Julie in thought and prayer, and keep Sherry in thought and prayer. She's traveling for work. Jim's wife Donna, and Walt's is under the weather at this time. Mm-hmm. He's not here, and people that's maybe. That you may know that we don't know, and anything else that we can talk about or share. So
Margie White.
Margie White.
She hasn't come around yet.
And
all our kids.
Yes. Yeah. We still call them kids, don't we, brother?
Well, they're kids. I'll tell you. Sometimes they get more kids than they used to be.
I know. I think about my children sometime, and I'm thankful for who they are, my kids, yeah. For one. But the things you see them do or whatever, you're like, I wish you wouldn't do that. But then again, you're like, reap what you sow.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's some of the decisions they make, and all. Sometimes it is discouraging to us. But I said this once, I'll say it a thousand times. I'm pretty sure my parents said the same thing about me. You know, and I know my cousins and uncles and stuff like, you ain't going to mount to the hill beans, boy.
Carissa. Yeah, she's been down with that COVID. She just started ivermectin. Dilly-dallied with that for like 3 or 4 days. She just started getting worse.
Sometimes it gets worse before you get better, though.
Yeah.
Keep her, our administration that's running the country's thought and prayers. You don't know which way they're going to go. It does seem dismal out there. I'm like, $4.01 for a gallon of diesel, and I stopped at one place and they didn't have any. And so, you know, you like, wait a minute, it was so much better over here. But anyway, I just want to share this with you, not be political, whatever. But those who are not in Christ this morning, whether you're listening or here today, you are getting a taste of Satan's kingdom, worldly, okay, chaos. Fighting amongst each other, devouring each other. That's the Antichrist's kingdom over here. I don't know if you ever thought about that. And it's just like, whoa. So those who are in Christ knows that there's a kingdom that's going to be glorious. Yes. You know, we're not going to be fighting. We're not going to be hungry. We're not going to be worrying about this and that. We're going to be clothed. Everything's going to be perfect. So that's what we talk about, whether you're in Adam or in Christ. It's your choice. If you're in Christ, you get all the benefits that are out of this world. If you're not in Christ, you get benefits that are in this world. Look around you right now. Mm-hmm. So you just don't invest in things that Christ didn't die for. And this gospel, we said it once, if we hadn't said it 1,000 times, this is the only answer today that can bring people out of darkness into light. I don't care what side of the political realm you're on, you got to know who Christ Jesus is and understand him dispensationalism, and it will make a world of difference on how you do things. Let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. And as we think about Margie and Carissa and Barb and Walt and our kids and many other people that's on our hearts and minds, Lord, that we just lift them up to you. And the decisions that they make in their own life, Whether we agree with them or not agree with them, we should just say, it's your decision and we'll back you with what you decide. And then sometimes that's tough on us, knowing that some of us have been through some things that that we could help people out. And then some of us is just like, I don't have the answer. But Lord, we know that through you and through your son, Christ Jesus, that there's an answer in your word when it comes to our salvation and come to our eternal destiny. And that's just some of the things that we need to be thinking about as we talk to people in their conditions, and that we talk to a lost and dying world. And even when we talk to a people that are a person that is saved and never understanding the knowledge of the truth that many of us know. And let us be gracious in doing and dealing with these people, and that we know that through the love of your Son, that you came to this earth and died and buried and rose again for our sins. And by trusting that, we are eternally in debt to you, so to speak, in a way that we're grateful that you did that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're in lesson 25. You turn to the book of Acts. We're last lesson we left off. We talked about, and I hope that was very enlightening to you, that what we was talking about last week in the book of Acts, and we're still in the book of Acts. We may be in the book of Acts for some times, you know, as far as the fundamentals of dispensationalism. I know Sister Barb mentioned about FOD. I don't write out fundamentals of dispensationalism, so I just abbreviate it. And when you was in the Air Force and stuff, many military stuff, when you're around flight lines, around engines, you had a FOD check. It's called foreign object damage. And you picked up bolts, nuts, and stuff like that. But this is not foreign object damage. Then again, it could be in a religious system. They're like, oh, stay away from a FOD, don't pick it up. But it's a fundamentals of dispensationalism, and it's just showing you some fundamentals of what dispensationalism really is. Now, so last week we saw a renewed offer of the kingdom given to Israel and a renewed offer of repentance. And the offer of the kingdom given to Israel, and later, it's rejected of that offer. And God setting them aside, sending salvation to the Gentiles through the ministry of Apostle Paul. And you see why God did that the way he did. Now, you get over to the end of the book of Acts, and you see the Apostle Paul out there among the Gentiles, don't you? And all the Gentile churches being established with no relationship to the nation Israel. And you might think about, what's going on? You know, you're scratching your head like, what is this? You know, it starts out in Acts chapter 1 where you should be. And but when you get over here, but now, you'll see the explanation of what and who, and you know why it is, because you see what has happened to Israel. Now, I'm going to close this chart up just for a little bit. This is a timeline of your Bible. Ages, times past, but now ages to come. Three ways you just look at your Bible. But we're looking at right here in this Acts period, and it starts out still dealing with Israel. And you'll see that the fall of Israel and God's reasoning for sending salvation to the Gentiles apart from Israel. Now, in the religious system today out there, 90% of your churches will teach that you still need to be a part of the system out there. Now, they may not come right out and say it, but if you look the way they teach you, you know, and they're like, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. That's why you got to become a spiritual Jew. And you have to come up here on this top line and be a part of what God's doing. And they'll have you going through the tribulation period. They have the wrath pouring out on you. They'll have you losing your salvation, gaining your salvation, all that stuff. Many of us done that. Been there, done that, got t-shirts and hats and all that stuff. You know, party favors, just showing up at church. But the thing is, there's two key verses, and we'll go over this again in a little bit, but there's two key verses in the book of Acts that you really need to think about and get it in your frame of reference. And first one is chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now, apostles are talking to the Lord himself. Now, how many apostles would be there?
11,
okay? In the first part of Acts, 11 apostles. Because where's the 12th one at? What's that?
He hung himself on a tree.
That's right. So they haven't replaced him yet, and Apostle Paul's not there. Okay? You got that. Now, the apostles are talking to the Lord. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time begin the body of Christ? Begin the church, the body of Christ.
Mm-mm. No. Restore.
Restore again. Restore again.
What does it say? Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to who?
Israel.
Now, what kingdom would they have known about, guys? The kingdom of God,
the kingdom of heaven,
come to the earth, yeah. Okay? They've been taught it, they walked it, they heard it, they believed it, okay? All through this time period. And by the way, it started way back over in the garden area, yeah. That kingdom did. And the first kingdom shows up in your Bible, you know where it was at, the word kingdom? Take a wild guess, or you should know. The first word of the kingdom, the word kingdom shows up in your Bible.
Eden.
Guess what kind of kingdom it was? The kingdom of?
Darkness.
What is it?
Darkness. No, I'm just guessing.
Babylon. Nimrod's kingdom. Oh. Okay? You think about that. So all of a sudden, kingdom. Which kingdom are they restoring? God's kingdom or Satan's kingdom? That's why he's the God of this world, people. And you're not going to get out of it until Jesus Christ takes you out of it. You want to know why things are going around in the world today? Look around. The God of this world is running this show. And now, God Almighty, the Creator, created human government. You can't get by that. He did form government to protect those other three institutions that we always talk about. Free will, marriage, and family. So the government that God created, and through the nation Israel, had it, okay, to show the world how God's going to do things and what happened to that kingdom. I share this people all the time with people who are like, I never thought about that. God Almighty was sitting on the mercy seat in Israel's kingdom, and he's seen them out here whoring around with other religions, doing the things opposite what he told them to. He says, I'm going. He gets up from the mercy seat. He goes to the threshold. I'm going. Then he goes to the wilderness. Gone. Three times. Okay? He did that. Three times in your Bible, you're going to see Apostle Paul says, I'm going to Gentiles. I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going to the Gentiles. Okay? Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, Stephen, three times, spiritually, gone. So, when Acts comes along, first part of Acts, Jesus Christ gets crucified and rose again and comes back. And it's important that you understand that the question isn't, are you going to restore the kingdom? That's not the question there. The question is, are you going to do it right now? You see that?
Yeah.
He's going to restore the kingdom. They want to know... Yes. So, what are they expecting to come? The kingdom. Who are they expecting to be given it to?
Israel.
Little flock, Israel. Acts 28. Acts 28:25. Paul is talking to the Jews at Rome, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. He probably said Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. He probably said stiff neck, uncircumcised.
What verse are we on?
We're in chapter 28, verse 25.
That's what I want to know.
And well spake the Holy Ghost of Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, here's what Isaiah said to Israel. Go unto these people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, because Israel wouldn't hear, wouldn't see, wouldn't understand, be it known therefore, because the fall of Israel unto you, that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Praise God, hallelujah. We have an apostle that went to us Gentiles with a message of grace that we can hear and understand, but does people hear and understand today? Not many. Because why? They're following a fallen religion that God's not doing today, I believe. You start out in the book of Acts and they say, right now are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And the issues on the apostles' minds when they start is the kingdom's being given to Israel, Israel's kingdom program, okay? They're promised. Hey, people make promises today that's in positions. You know they're not going to fulfill those promises. They're not going to fulfill those promises. I get called up sometimes on these senators' Facebook pages, and I'm asking, hey, don't vote for this. You're promising things you're not going to deliver. You're going to tie my grandchildren's children up, and you're going to keep them in bondage, and you're going to have human trafficking with them, and you're going to make them slaves to something you want now. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
they don't care.
They don't care. We want it now. And you're supposed to be a religious man. Shouldn't you take care of your brothers? I'm like, I'll take care of him, my brother, for helping take care of themselves. Shouldn't you take care of yourself first? That's what this Acts period is first. They first must be fed, okay, before they can feed anything else. And you get at the end of the book, you see Israel's blind, won't hear, won't see, won't understand. The salvation has gone into Gentiles anyway. And now, that's kind of different, isn't it? You know, I'm going to open up this timeline a little bit, and Acts chapter 1's right here. Acts 28's down here. Okay? And something has changed. Something's a little different. And when you get to the book of Acts, it's exactly the opposite of what the first part of Acts was. You ever thought about how people would study their Bible a little bit and don't understand it, and they just shove it to the side? Because they just don't want to seem ignorant. And then when you get talking to people that haven't picked up their Bible or understand their Bible, but yet when you start talking about dispensation truth, they're going to tell you everything they know about the Bible. Yeah, but God said this. Yeah, there's an answer for that. Yeah, but God said, yeah, there's an answer for that. Listen, context, context, context is very, very important in the subject matter. I may be ignorant as a box of rocks, dumber than a box of rocks sometimes. So there's pretexts and contexts and text without a pretext, you know, all that stuff. Y'all probably know that more than I ever will know. But I do know this. I got the text. And I always read above it and read below it to get the context of it. I don't pick that verse out and say, do it. At the beginning, it's Israel's program, Israel's kingdom. And at the end of the book of Acts, salvation has gone to the Gentiles without Israel. That's quite a change, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Big change. And the reason those key verses is because they demonstrate to you that the books of Acts is a book of, what is it?
Transition.
It's a book of change. But yet, many people get their doctrine out of that first part. And it's designed to demonstrate to you the change of Israel's program from the beginning of the book of Acts. That works fine. But the book of Acts explains to you why the program that the beginning and the opening chapters no longer operates. And it has been replaced by another program. That's hard to understand sometimes. That's why you better not get your doctrine out of the book of Acts. Many of us have. Many of us came out of that. And when you start the book, it's going. And when you get to the end of the book, it's going on. And you say, yeah, what's going on? You know? And when you get over to Paul's epistles, the next set of books, it explains to you. Now, in the book of Acts, there's a lot of Jewish terminology in there. Okay? A lot of Israel's terminology. But you get over to Paul's epistles, you don't find that as much. Okay? So people try to put them together and say, see, he's talking about this because he said it in the book of Acts. But the book of Acts explains the fall and the diminishing of Israel, guys. And it's a transition book. And the book of Acts is a transition that starts at one place, right here, and ends with another over here with grace. Let's look at some things right quick. Go to Acts chapter 2. Peter is speaking to men and brethren of Israel. If you don't believe it, it says it. You men of Israel, you men of Judea, to you first, all through Acts chapter 2. And they asked of him, what shall we do? After he told them, you with wicked hands is crucified. You know, if I'm going to be pricked in the heart and you're telling me I'm doing something, I'm like, what shall I do? I want to get this right. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Back in Acts chapter 2, you repent. You got baptized, your sins was forgiven, and you received what? Holy Ghost. Come to Acts chapter 10. Peter is down in Cornelius' house now, right? And you probably fought with people over and over about Cornelius, and you're still probably fighting over and over with people about Cornelius. But Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, to him give all the prophets witnesses, and through his name whosoever believe in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, they got up, they repented, they got water baptized, and then the Holy Ghost fell on them. It says, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. What's going on here? In Acts chapter 10, they believe, and then they got the Holy Spirit, and their sins were forgiven, and then they haven't been baptized yet. What's going on? Now, Acts chapter 2 is real clear in it, guys. 90% of your churches out there base their belief on Acts chapter 2. You repent, be baptized in order to get your sins forgiven, in order to get the Holy Ghost. But when you get to Acts chapter 10, all they did is believe. And before Peter could say another word, what fell on them? Now, if you had the Holy Ghost fall on you, is your sins forgiven or you're still in your sins?
They're forgiven.
And so they got their sins forgiven and they got the Holy Spirit and haven't repented and been baptized yet. And then Peter says in verse 47, can any man forbade water that they should not be baptized? He's going to put them under that system no matter what, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why would he want them baptized? To identify them with that little flock. Okay? Now, the reason these men were greatly surprised is because the orders all changed. And their issue of getting saved is important today. But then, too. Listen, there's 12 different baptisms in your Bible. 12 different baptisms. And the issue of getting sins forgiven is important too, isn't it? And you know that's absolutely two different systems right there, if you believe what God said right there. Did you see two different systems right there? I sure did. And it behooved Peter to get the message straight. Now, if that confuses you, go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, who's not the author of confusion? God isn't. Amen. Acts 16, verse 30. Acts 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they, Paul and Silas, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now, Paul says that all you have to do is believe, and you can be saved. The difference between Acts chapter 2, that's different from Acts chapter 2, that's different from Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter says, "Believe and you can get saved." He gave them a message. They believed on, and God gave them the Holy Spirit. And Peter wasn't expecting that. We talked last week about the man laying at the gate from his birth asking for alms. He didn't ask, "Heal me, save me." He asked for money. And Peter said, "Have money, have enough." God grabbed him right hand, stood him up. Walk, you know, in the name of Jesus, that type of thing. What did the guy have faith in at that time?
The time before Peter was money.
He had faith that them guys going to give him money. Mm-hmm. So you see where the confusion can be in all this.
Oh, yeah.
And you go back to the book of Acts and they say, "I think we ought to go to Acts chapter 2. We got to go back to Pentecost." You've heard that. Many have probably been there.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably walked the streets carrying signs. You know, we got to get back to Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Then somebody else says, "No, I think we ought to go to Acts chapter 10. Then somebody else says, "I think we should go to Acts chapter 16. Which should it be, guys?
16.
You know, many of you might sit there. These are good things that we could help people out of some confusions when you're talking to people. What do you think? "I think I'm confused." You know, isn't it a whole Bible for us? Isn't all Bible to us?
No.
And do you see that there's a transition going on there? And there's a change taking place. Now, the change in transmission, shift the gears, driver, does not begin until you come to the ministry of Apostle Paul. Now, that change doesn't take place until the fall of Israel takes place. You got to remember that,
right?
Because, you know, you back up Acts chapter 11, even to the Jews first, this message went out to. But once the fall of Israel takes place, God begins a new dispensation with salvation and commission of the Apostle Paul. Then you begin to see some things. Right now, it's confusion. And this thing in Acts chapter 10 with Peter is after. Does Acts chapter 9 come before Acts chapter 10?
Yeah.
You sure?
Acts 9 before. Oh, you mean chronologically?
Yeah. Let's don't go there yet.
Okay.
But you hold it. If you want to hold that thought, we can talk about it later. But Acts chapter 9 comes before Acts chapter 10, which comes before Acts chapter 11. If you've been taught from school, A becomes before B, one before that type of thing. Acts chapter 10 is after the salvation and commission of Apostle Paul.
That's right.
And with that new message, he begins to show Peter that the old program isn't going on like it used to be. That's why when God's changing the program and Peter gets confused, like, should I forbade him water? What should I do? You know, that type of thing. It's just like, who was with the eunuch? coming back from Jerusalem. Philip. Okay. That eunuch was up in Jerusalem at Pentecost paying tribute to the Jew, because he's a Jew. And he's reading in the book of Isaiah. He's the Ethiopian Jew, okay? He's reading that, and he's reading, and they said, "Where you read? What? How thou understandest what you readest?" And he's reading by Isaiah about a eunuch that no longer is a dry tree. And what does Philip do to him?
Baptized.
So in the book of Isaiah, where he is at, there's looking at a eunuch is no longer a dry tree. They get water; they become part of system. See, this book is wonderfully put together, but Peter becomes confused, but later Paul comes and explains to him and straightens him out. And he brings him up to date about it, and the point is, things are changing. And Peter's confused there, but you know, when they meet over in Acts chapter 15, and Galatians chapter 2, Peter understood what God's doing. Now it's coming together. And in 1st or 2nd Peter, he says, the things Paul wrote unto you are hard for you to understand. Now, I look at us and the people's come through here, the groves of people that's come through here. They've been taught a certain way in their Bible. And then when you start to explain dispensational truths and you start to explain this changing period, it's hard for you to understand sometimes. And you'll kick against the pricks. And you'll call me names. One side out, done. Good names. And you know, and that's why when we first started our church a long time ago, we put Brother Richard on the radio. And I don't know if you remember that. We had him on the radio for a year, 2 years. And I figured, hey, they can fight with him. You know? And they can fight with him all they want to, call up there, and then they can come and say, I need to find this place. And they come with the understanding like, hey, I was wrong, but this is right. But I see a lot of us, you know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of people out there still confused, like, no, that's not what I've been taught. But was it scriptural, what you've been taught?
Yes.
But was it dispensational? That's another good key. So the book of Acts is that transitional book. It starts out with a renewal offer of repentance given to Israel. Hey, that's good news to Israel. They first saw the Messiah, the King, the Son of the Living God, die, was buried, and rose again. They're like, oh, woe is me. He's gone. He promised us this, right? Then what did men on the road of Yes. Why do you glaze up? Knowing that the same that you see coming is coming back over here. Hey, wouldn't that be good news? Now he don't say when.
Right?
That's like in the dispensation of grace, people's looking for this time period. Oh, things are happening, yeah. things are happening. Hey, we went over the book of Daniel. And there's some things that's got to happen before this guy shows up. And I kind of tell you, it's not Ronald Reagan. It's not George Bush 1. It wasn't Bill Clinton. It wasn't George Bush 2. It wasn't Obama. Okay? It's not even this guy that claims to be president today. Oh, I didn't say that. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, oh, it's the Antichrist. No, there's some things that's got to take place before that can happen. So does God, through his word and the dispensation of grace that you know of, tell us when this time's going to take place? You know it's going to happen. He warns you. But he don't warn you when he's taking you out of here.
No.
And I know brothers that could the time be waiting for the dispensation for the body of Christ to be filled with saved people before that happens? Is that a possibility?
No.
You know, everybody says they're saved. Are they saved?
No.
So there's a void up there in the heavenlies, I believe, to be true. If Satan convinced one third of the angelic angels, one third. Now, one third out of a small remnant, what would that percentage be right sitting right here right now? One third of this group right here. One person?
Yeah.
Two persons? That's not many. But yet that's a lot. And to replace those two people in here, it could take years, thousands of years. But anyway, I digress. But look, it starts out renewed. And then you see a rejection of it and their fall. And it's important to be able to outline the book spiritually. And it's important to understand that the wall falls during the Acts period. Because right now in Acts chapter 2, there's still wall up between Jew and Gentile. And it, by the time it gets down here at the end of Acts, there is no wall. And the transition you're going to see in Acts period is Israel's fall and why they had fallen. Now, I don't know if y'all ever thought about that before, but there's a reason why they failed. There's a reason why they diminished. That's a reason why they stumbled. And God continued to give them opportunity and opportunity. And the book of Acts is not written to show you this dispensation of grace, like I said before. Where do you find about the dispensation? Where do you need to look and understand?
13 epistles.
Yes, the 13 epistles Apostle Paul wrote. And it's written to show you what happened to Israel and why it happened to Israel. Hey, people need to understand that today. And it's a continuation of this ministry, the earthly ministry of Christ to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what happened to it. And why God set them aside and set salvation to the Gentiles. So fundamentally, issue of studying the book of Acts is to recognize the transitional nature of it. I don't know about you guys, but that's helped me understand a lot of things about the book of Acts, because I could be confused. So the book of Acts is critical to understand in your Bible study. And it's going to, and if you're going to understand it, you got to know how to understand it and how to deal with the book of Acts. And those two key verses that we talked about, Acts chapter 1. When will you again restore the kingdom? Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? Now, people may be saying that today. If you're caught up in Acts 2 ministries and stuff like that, isn't that a good question? Are you going to restore the kingdom? Well, why hasn't God to restore the kingdom yet, preacher? Oh, you got to repent and be baptized. Well, that's a chapter later. You got to repent and be baptized for missing sins. Well, Acts chapter 10 says, why he yet spoke. You know, that type of thing. In Acts 28, and you go back to verse 25, where Paul demonstrates that Israel has rejected the word of God and was given to them. And he says, okay, the word of God was given to who?
Moses.
What nation? There's only one nation that had the oracles of God.
Israel.
And that's why it's very, very important to understand when you look at Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3 and Romans chapter 1, 2, 3 and look at them and compare them. You can understand why we are the way we are. First chapter of Romans deals with the heathen, the Gentile. God gave us up. God gave us up. God gave us over. That's three more times. And then Acts chapter 2 deals with that religious man. Holier than thou. Look at me. You guys ain't got nothing on me. And Acts chapter 3 deals with the Jew that had the oracles of God, had God's own word with them. And then that same chapter, he goes, none doeth good. No, not one. Now, wouldn't that be a kick in the kneecap? To say, wait a minute, I've got God's word. Now you tell me there's none that doeth good? That's what the book of Isaiah says. And they're going to hear it. Here's what's going to happen when the word goes out to the Gentiles after they fall into diminishing, and it goes out to the Gentiles. They're going to hear it. a part of Israel's salvation, a part of Israel's kingdom, a part of Israel's instrumentality. And so when you start the book, you have Israel being a vessel and the vehicle, just like back over here. It hadn't changed. There was the vessel and the vehicle for us Gentiles to get saved. Was there always an opportunity in these dispensations and this timeline and the history of Israel for a Gentile down here that God gave up back over in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Was there always an opportunity for me, a Gentile, that had no God, that had no hope, that was strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world? Was there any ever not a time that you could not go to get to God, the Creator, that created the heaven and earth? There's always been an opportunity for someone like me and you. Yes, you had to go through Israel. So Israel always had the supposed to be the light on the, was it Isaiah 60, being the light of the city?
Yeah, light on the city.
Yeah. And that light in Goshen, this little light of mine, I'm going to let shine. Now, the whole world was dark, but that little light in Goshen with Israel, people looking down there, it must look like a big flame. Yeah. You know, how dark, gross darkness covered the land. You know what I mean? So Israel's always had that opportunity to share what God was doing. Good news, here you are, get with us, get with the program, get inside of us. But you know something? I'm just sitting here thinking, you better watch what part of Israel you got part over here. Because since when they started messing around with other religions, there was a bad vine running alongside of here that pulled the good people away. So if you saw this line down here, imagine this imaginary line of the bad vine, this represents true Israel, okay? And say if you had another vine that counterfeited that, and you saw this one doing things that pleased you, that you could say, you know, I could join that religion and still have the things that I want. I don't know if you thought about that. It happened. When somebody's counterfeiting something, if you're not careful, you're going to get into that same thing that they're doing. Mm-hmm. You ever deposit cash in a ATM?
Eight at one time.
Okay.
We'll get it back.
One time I put it in there and kicked it back. $20 bill. Kept kicking it back. I put it in the sideways.
Oh, yeah.
Kept kicking it back. I'm looking at it. I'm like, hmm.
It's all wrinkled.
But it was flat. It's a flip. The thing is, was in my mind, first thing I thought about is a counterfeit. Then it stayed in my billfold for a month and a half because I was afraid to give it to somebody. Like, hey, hello. The counterfeit's going on today. The counterfeit of God's religion is going on today. Okay, and people today, whether you're Jew or Gentile, could very well be going to a false religion and following them and thinking they're doing okay. So I got a few more minutes. So the book of Acts divides itself into two parts. And the first part runs from chapter 1 through chapter 12. And the second part runs from chapter 13 to chapter 28. The main figure in the first book of Acts, who do you think it is? Who's doing all
Peter,
the talking?
Peter.
Peter. And the main figure in the second section is Paul. And the center of activity in the first part is Jerusalem, city of the great God. The center of the second part, what? Was that?
I just said Gentile world.
Well, not so much. They did have a city that we claim as dispensational Bible believers. This is where our authority came. Antioch. Okay, and in the activity of the first. So you have in we was talking to a guy the other night. talking scriptures, and he's very well guy, very like guy, and he's sitting there, you know, in Constantine days, and in Nero days, and the Bible says this. I'm listening to him. He's got a theology type of mind going on, okay? And I'm like, yeah, but the Bible says this. And Apostle Paul says this. Antioch is where we base our belief out of. You know the other world system, Alexandria? Mm-hmm. You know, Alexandria was known as the world. Everything the world knew came out of Alexandria. So all these professing people, you watch where they get their word from, and you watch a true Bible believer where he gets his word from. Not only the Bible, but Antioch. And the activity in the first part, you see the prophetic program. And the prophecy program is functioning in the first part of Acts, and then you see it diminishing away. That's still hard to believe today, isn't it, if you think about it. Because like I said, don't you want to see, you think the prophetic calendar is still rolling. You think this is taking place, okay? And the first part of Acts, this is what they're looking for. This is what they want to be saved from. This is what they're coming back to. This is the kingdom of God. This is what their hope was over here. And you see that working through there in the prophetic program. And if you're not careful in your own thinking, and you're looking at, and you turn that tube on, or you look through Telegram and all these apps and stuff out there, and you're like, whoa, it's happening. They just had a summit. You know, they all got together. You know, the kings are going to be having one king and all that stuff. The prophetic program is functioning in the first part of Acts, and then you see it diminishing away. The second part of the book, you see a mystery program, an operation, and it begins with the sending of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Okay? First part of Acts, prophecy. Second part of Acts, what?
Mystery.
Not boo-hoo to do mystery. Ooh. You know, I'm going to pull a card on my sleeve and do a trick. Reading from the Acts 1, Acts 1 through chapter 7, you begin to see the diminishing away of the prophetic program. And you see the salvation of Paul, and then the rise of the mystery program. That is a distinction that is very clear if you're not blind, if you believe the Bible. The whole purpose of what Luke does here is to discriminate or to demonstrate how the program starts and then how it stops and why it stops. Hey, we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. Why did it stop? Because they reject. And the book of Acts is not meant to be a history book revealing that the body of Christ began in Acts chapter 2 and how it expanded worldwide, but rather it's an account of the program that begins there under Peter's ministry in Jerusalem as a center and fulfilling prophecy. And that program, whether continuing, has been interrupted and set aside and replaced by a new program. And we'll start there next week and talk about the Acts. There's a balance when you start with Peter and move to Paul. It just don't abruptly end. You know, like, oh, we're out of Caliph. Because when I think about that, I think about Israel coming out of Egypt, and they're facing this Red Sea, a cliff, the Red Sea, and the armies behind them. They didn't abruptly was cut off. God had a provision. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So today, in the dispensation of grace, we should stand still and see the dispensation of grace, salvation through his son that he died and was buried and rose again, and what this death, burial, resurrection accomplished in the body of Christ for eternity out in the heavenly places,
is unlike what he's accomplished here at Calvary for the kingdom program on earth. And when we stand still and just believe what the book of Acts is teaching, the diminishing, the fall. Now, we'll get into Romans a little bit about Romans 11:11, where it says, have they stumbled that they fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall. You're like, what's going on here? Yeah. I mean, did they fall or did they stumble? Yeah. So when we get that, the balance of it, the prophecy program is interrupted and we move to the mystery program, and we'll see some sermons differences between Peter's first sermons and Paul's first sermon. Peter healed, Paul healed. All that stuff. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you once again for tuning in to our Dispensation Bible Church. And we welcome you to write us and encourage us. Let us know how we're doing out there. And that being said, any questions or comments?